Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Our favorite time of the week, Tuesdays in Buckhead, and it's time for Buckhead Business Radio. Your host here, Rich Casanova, alongside Ryan Redhawk McPherson.
That's me.
Did I get that right?
Every time. Every time. That's right. That is me, producing engineering today for another exciting episode of Buckhead Business Radio here in our studios.
And for all of our social media fans, you'll be sending out announcements on Twitter.
That's right. Make sure you follow Friendster. Us at Buckhead Radio X on Twitter. Also, find all today's show photos posted on our Facebook album at Facebook.com/Buckhead Business Radio X.
And will you be posting on Friendster? Is Friendster still around or no?
If it is, we're not utilizing that social media platform here in the studio. So
no one else is either. Yeah,
you know, so just follow us Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as well. You know, we don't.
Yeah, we do have an account, but we haven't. We're still radio silent on our Instagram account, but a lot of followers already. Yeah,
so lots of traction there. So
besides social media, we've had some great shows already today, and then this past week, and we had Atlanta Legal Experts. They were having in this morning, service providers for the industry, which is a little different than their normal.
Yeah, cloud services, phone services, internet solutions, particularly for the law firm environment, from two attorneys all the way up to, I think they said, a couple hundred attorneys. So yep. Anybody can help.
Yep. And they were trying to pitch you on opening your own server in your basement
right,
down there.
Yeah, but Ryan's cloud service is not happening. I'll just stick to my radio
exactly.
gig.
I agree. And then a couple of other shows we mentioned real quick. Food and Beverage Radio is off to hitting the...
Great show last week.
Yeah.
Great show, great lineup of guests, good mix of guests, people supporting the food and beverage industry as well as people
producing.
Restaurateurs,
yeah. So, and we got some great food. Finally, some people in the food business brought us food in the studio,
yeah.
So,
they brought some popcorn, didn't they?
Yeah. We took it and some almond butter or whatever. Yeah,
good stuff. Very nice. So.
And then you had a great show, Georgia Business Radio.
Georgia Business Radio. Just last week, we had Tricia Whitlock from Hypotamus, the online startup magazine that features startup and technology here in the Atlanta community. We had Harold Alexander from TimeQ.net. He has doing an app that people can log in to their clock in and clock out.
So you can't cheat no more as an employee.
No fraud, and it's all GPS-based technology.
And then Blake was here.
From Over50JobBoard.com. Interesting guy, man. This guy really brought to the table some unique perspective of people looking for work when they are over the age of 50. Some different challenges they experience. So please go to GeorgiaBusinessRadio.com for all the past broadcasts there. So
good stuff.
Yep.
And so we want to kind of just say hi to our guest in the studio here and get things underway for this episode of Buckhead Business Radio. And we have a couple of interesting, compelling stories and guests here to share those stories with us. I just want to say hi and welcome to the show here. Rob, is it... Hergert. Okay. We didn't even practice that beforehand.
There you go.
I just winged it on that one. Yeah. I had a good shot at that. So we're going to do a formal introduction in just a moment, but you're with monkeydough.com?
Correct.
So what will you be chatting about during your segment coming up here?
We work with nonprofits all over the country with our program, help raise money for them, and we're looking to make a huge impact here in Atlanta.
Okay. And so not the elevator pitch, but kind of your play and you're offering to those organizations is a platform where they can promote their nonprofit and raise funds?
Yeah, what monkeydough.com is a national discount club.
Okay.
We have over 350,000 merchants all over the country, from restaurants to movie theaters to shopping, hotels, rental cars, pretty much everything you and I spend money on every day.
Right. Is Uber on there? we were talking about that earlier before the show, yeah.
Uber's not on there. Actually, it is something in discussion, but... Yeah. And basically what we're doing is saving consumers money. We're driving traffic to the merchants, and we're raising money for the local schools and nonprofits all at the same time.
And we'll share a story in a minute, how we originally met you, but very interesting business model, and intrigued to hear more about that in just a moment. Our first guest is a returning guest to the studio, John Schaffner. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Enjoy it.
Yeah. So we're looking to great conversation here, and so you've been in a couple of times in the studio, and I think we were saying before the air, I think you were on, not our initial show, but early on when we opened the studio.
I think that's probably true, yes.
We found you on social media, I think, for Buckhead Business Radio. Anybody that has Buckhead in their name gets on our shortlist and our radar, and so let's just kind of jump in. Ryan, if you wouldn't mind doing a formal introduction of John, and we'll get things underway.
All right, it'd be my pleasure. John is a newspaper journalist and has been from 1963 to 1982, and then a PR marketing agency executive from 82 to 2001, weekly newspaper group editor from 2001 to 2006, and a biweekly newspaper group editor from 2006 to 2011. He is owner, editor of BuckheadView.com, online news service since April of 2011. Covers news and interest of the Buckhead community of Atlanta and has now hit over 1 million page views in the last 12 months and over 500,000 unique visitors during the past 12 months. So please welcome formerly John Schaffner from BuckheadView.com.
All right. Did you say formerly or sound like he left that position? Yeah.
Introduce him formally.
Formally. Okay. Yeah. I know. Do you have an announcement to tell John? Whatever. Yeah. Formally with Buckhead View. Yeah. No.
I don't know, but I might want to talk with Blake up there.
Yeah.
Over 50. I mean, does he have jobs for people over 74?
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. That's his new website or whatever. Yeah. So again, welcome to the show or back to the show. And wow, I was reading this or when I got this the other day when you submitted and we invited you on the show. Last 12 months, 1 million. I think when you were first on the show, you only had, what, 2 people viewing the site?
Well, a little bit more than that.
A little less than a million. Yeah.
Less than a million.
Wow. I mean, what do you attribute that to? I mean,
well, you know, back about April of last year, we initiated a new format to the website, and right after that, things really started taking off. A lot more readers. So, actually, since that redesign, we've probably gone well over a million, probably 1,080,000 or
right.
So, or maybe 800,000. In our initial viewers has gone well over 600,000.
Wow.
So we're doing very well. The only problem, you know, we haven't found the formula yet for finding people who want to pay to advertise
right.
on
to
online,
monetize
on
that,
online.
Yeah.
So it's been a been That's my community service program for the past 4 years. So.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that comes out every Thursday or
actually it
Wednesday?
Comes out every day. I mean, it's online
really?
Every day. The only thing that we do once a week is we do put out a newsletter on
That's
Wednesdays,
what I get.
Which goes to about just under 600 readers that are subscribed to it. And that just basically hits the highlights of the top 8 or 10 stories that we've done during the week. I do anywhere from 1 to 6 stories a day.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's, there's a lot of content on there that nobody else has in Buckhead.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, because I get my in my inbox each week, and it is cool. You feel like you're in the know. And a lot of times, it's funny, I'll read a story that you produce, and then later I'll see it on the news or whatever, right? So, so speaking of that, let's talk about the economy. We were talking about that in a couple of other shows. A lot of cranes going up and backhoes and good stuff, right? We're all excited and happy to see that. But what can you elaborate on that? Is that, are we seeing more activity than it's actually happening? Or, I mean, how do you kind of judge that activity?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people say, is Buckhead back yet from the recession? Well, I think Buckhead's been back for quite some time.
Okay.
And a good example of that is Buckhead Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Development, Oliver McMillan development.
Right.
I mean, it's still going gangbusters, adding tenants,
right.
building more stuff. There's I don't know whether you've been past there recently or not, but there's a new Dior store, two-story Dior store that's right on Peachtree that's about to open, I think, pretty soon,
right.
in the fall. But it's just that there's so much going on in every facet of development. Three Alliance Center, for instance, right down the street here, is the first spec office building to come out of the ground in Atlanta.
Really?
In years.
Not
years.
Just Buckhead, but Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Metro Atlanta.
In years.
Wow.
And it's, you know, that's a big step forward to at this time point build a 500,000 square foot spec building without a tenant
wow.
Signed up. So, I mean, that's
pretty
major
aggressive,
commitment.
Yeah. Go back to Buckhead Atlanta for a second. Did I read in your Buckhead View that about Spanx and they're revisiting the
Spanx,
idea?
Spanx is actually...
Because it was on and
no,
off
they,
again, right?
Well, Spanx was always going to move their headquarters there.
Right.
But they were originally going to have a retail store there as well. And they've decided to pull back out of the retail store.
Right.
But they have moved into the headquarters.
Oh, they did?
Yes. And it takes up, it takes up, I'd say, three quarters, maybe more of the office space that
really?
Was part of Buckhead Atlanta. So, I mean, it's a major
wow.
commitment.
Big time. you
let
said,
me go on about
yeah,
some,
go ahead,
of the
yeah.
other, some of the other things. I mean, apartments are going up everywhere. I mean, it's just amazing to me the number of apartments that are being built in Buckhead right now. Every week, there's a new announcement. We don't want you to fall on the floor.
I got so excited. It's this chair. We gotta have be on YouTube when that happens. If I kick the chair the wrong way, I drop right to the floor. That was the reaction from the audience here.
Right over here on Stratford Road, which is one of the most clogged up roads actually in Buckhead. There are two apartment buildings. One's the Sky House. That's just opened up.
I see that every time when I drive in the morning.
And there's another one that's going to be built on the corner, and it's going to take away the Congregational Church that's been there for years.
Right.
It's going to be removed, and there's going to be a new apartment complex replacing it.
What about
Cyan just opened right around the corner from that.
Okay. What about Lenox? Wasn't there to be a development of mixed-use community?
The same people that were going to build the towers behind Lenox uh-huh. are the ones that are building the one on Peachtree at Stratford.
Okay.
Now, whether they're going to do the one at Lenox or not...
That's on hold right now?
Yeah, I think that actually Simon is sort of renegotiating with some other people to get that going, but...
Okay. No, I was going to say, Ryan McPherson here with a few questions. I'm a third-generation Atlantan. I grew up over here in Brookhaven. My dad and granddad both grew up in Decatur. I remember Buckhead as a kid, and I've seen it evolve through the years, and now where it is now, it's really on the map as the epicenter of Atlanta's financial district, of the condo community,
absolutely.
Of the shopping and retail.
Tech.
Right, and so just what are your thoughts on where it's going from here?
Up.
Yeah, vertical.
It has to go vertical, right? Yeah.
Well, it has to go vertical. I mean, there's no new land being created in Buckhead, and the fact of the matter is that the only way to get anything built is to replace something that's already there.
Well, and for listeners that are either familiar or not familiar, give us some specs on the geography of Buckhead, the square mileage, right? What does it encompass?
Buckhead is 28 square miles.
Okay.
It's about 70,000, 80,000 residents on a day basis, overnight.
Right.
And during the day, it almost doubles.
Wow. And unincorporated, never be incorporated as a city, right?
No. Well, I'm not going to say that.
Really?
I'm going to say that as long as Sam Marcel fights it, it probably won't be. But
correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard from him and others that if it were to be incorporated as a city, 40% of all the tax revenue for the city comes from Atlanta.
45% comes from Buckhead.
Yeah, from Buckhead. And Atlanta would basically overnight just be bankrupt. Yeah.
Yeah, be bankrupt, and it would be in real trouble.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, we got to at some point start getting our due up here, and we're not getting our due.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people that are very angry about that.
In what respect?
Potholes all over the roads and everything else. I mean, we don't get roads repaired. We don't get sewage problems fixed. We don't get...
And yet contributing 45% of the tax revenue.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, just a classic example. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the OK Cafe. I mean, it's always been a very popular place.
Oh, icon, yeah.
Burned, last December or something like that?
Easily, yeah.
And this couple has had a nightmare trying to get building permits from the city just to repair the place so it can reopen.
Because I remember there was a social media push and a lot of people, just longtime patrons, all donated monies to rebuild it. What's the status? I haven't really heard any news on that.
It's still supposed to open sometime late this summer.
Wow.
Reopen. So,
like you said, Ryan, you've been here probably when Lenox was. I heard it was an open air mall.
Open air mall.
I can't even imagine that.
I used to
that.
Go there as a kid over here to the arcade, and seeing Buckhead now, be one of the Lenox particularly being one of the permanent shopping malls in the Atlanta metro area. So
well, Ryan, I hate to say this, but I don't know how old you are, but July 4th, I celebrated 38 years in Atlanta.
Okay.
Wow. So more than half of my life I've been in Atlanta.
That's good. That's great. It's a great place to be.
In a little bit, we'll switch to Rob. Rob and I both born and raised in Miami. So so this is all...
Actually, I grew up in Florida myself.
Oh, okay. So let's get back to some issues facing Buckhead. Talk to us about transportation, environmental impact.
Well, I think, you know... We've got a transportation problem in Buckhead, and we all understand that. And there's a lot of work being done to try
the CID
CID is spending a lot of money to try and rectify some of this stuff. And you know, I was in a CID meeting just yesterday, as a matter of fact, and the woman who's the District 7 person for the GDOT, the engineer, was there and talking about some of the projects that they're working on with the CID in Buckhead. And one of the biggest problems is there's no federal money anymore. You know, the federal transportation funds basically is dried up. And the GDOT, between January and April, had Zippo dollars to do anything. They couldn't do anything at all. And right now that bill is just sort of in a temporary, carry on. But, you know, there's a project, for instance, that's been on the books for 10 years. Right now it's stalled.
What project?
It's Piedmont Road at Habersham, which is there. All it involves is putting in extending a left turn lane, and doing some sidewalk work. And
well, let's the four of us after the show go make that happen. Yeah, grab your shovels.
but you know, and the woman said, you know, if federal money had not been involved with that project, it would have been done a long time ago. So and the CID board sat there and said, you know, we need to look at each of these a little bit more closely because we got $13 million in our budgets. You know, we could spend some of that on some of these projects. There's a one block of the Peachtree Road transformation project between Maple Drive and Shadow Lawn Drive. That's been on the books for I've been covering it for about 6 or 8 years.
Wow.
And it's not much of a project, but it's federal funding. And again, it's been held up. And
is Jim still over there at the CID? Or
Yes.
But well, I'm just glad on a positive note. Even before we launched our studio, I'd come in and out of Buckhead. I live in Sandy Springs myself, but coming in and out, and it seemed like a decade there were cones on all of Peachtree. Eventually, they, you know, those.
Well, and you know, the bottom part of Peachtree is supposed to look very similar to what this top part does.
Right.
It won't be quite the same.
Yeah.
Because part of the problem is that some of the older shopping areas down along the bottom part, from Shadow Lawn on down to the Peach Shopping Center, those buildings were built so close to the road, and their parking is in front of the buildings, and so you can't.
I got one word for you: parking deck.
Well, that's very definitely an answer to a lot of it.
See, I just need to put me in charge of whatever. Yeah, I'll make things happen or cause trouble.
But there's a lot going on, and I think that there's a lot more that needs to be done. There are bike lanes that are being proposed to be put in. You know, I applaud people who ride bikes. At 74, I'm not going to start riding a bike around Buckhead, and I certainly am not going to ride it on Peachtree Road.
Oh,
I can tell you that. But
what's that, Cycle Atlanta, or what's the group?
They're really pushing for the bike lanes.
We're talking with John Schaffner. He's with BuckheadView.com, an online news service since 2011. So how do you think the leadership is dealing with these issues? Are they doing a fair job, or do they need to do some more work? What is your opinion on that matter?
I think the leadership is, it depends on what you're talking about when you talk about leadership. There's a couple of projects that have been in the works now for, at least a year in Buckhead that have just been dragging on because of the City of Atlanta's Public Works Department. And a lot of it involves... The CID's been involved in a lot of the planning, and they did a lot of the planning. And in one case on West Paces Ferry Road, they're actually funding, putting in a median, sort of a rescue median for people trying to cross in front of Whole Foods. They're funding putting in a new flashing light there to help pedestrians cross the road and everything. But these projects haven't gotten finished. I mean, if you look at Far Road, the repaving and restriping has been in the works for months and months and months, and they still haven't finished the restriping. You know,
it does blow my mind. That reminds me of the old joke of like the supervisor supervising a guy painting the lines down the road. First few days, he just knocked it out of the park. He was painting for forever. He came back later in the week, and wasn't making so much progress. He wasn't getting as far down the road. And by the next week, he's like, we're going to have to let you go. I don't know why the lanes aren't getting painted. Well, he says, I'm getting further and further away from the paint can.
But I do think the CID has been very active in trying to push these projects.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are some on the short list organizations that you think are making a great impact? We mentioned the CID. What about Loudermilk Park? That was a huge development.
It was. CID took that over as well. And there are still some things that have got to be done there. For instance, there was supposed to be a sculpture in the
right. Yeah,
they're working on that. They unfortunately have about 6 or 7 dead trees that have to be replaced already. But
it's never as easy as it seems, right?
Yeah. No, and then there's Livable Buckhead is one of the best organizations in Buckhead in my mind.
Right.
And
what's their mission? Or their if not familiar?
Their mission is to number one, create more green space in Buckhead. I don't know whether you know it, but the Council District 7, right here where we're sitting, has the least amount of parks and green space of any of the 12 districts in the city of Atlanta. And it's so woefully bad, it needs 100-some-odd acres to add to become, reasonable.
Well, out our window here at the Buckhead Studios, I can see some green space if you look carefully right there at the Sovereign Building up on the the upper patio there.
That doesn't count. But that's one of their missions. The other mission is trails. I'm sure you've heard about the Path 400 Trail. The Path 400 Trail is going to be one of the most incredible projects when it's finished.
Does that feed into the Beltline?
Feeds into the Beltline on the south side.
What's the timeline?
Well, probably 2017 for it to be completed, but maybe a little longer. But now they've got to go ahead with Georgia's GDOT to connect this to the new interchange at Perimeter with I-285 and 400.
I know. I live up that way. I'll be walking for the next year, so I'm taking my bike.
And frankly,
it's going to be crazy construction.
There's actually even Alpharetta is interested in tying into this Path 400 trail. Somehow down through there.
Is it ultimately going to be tied into, what's the trail that covers the whole eastern seaboard?
Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, is it going to be tied into that?
I don't think so, but it will eventually be able to tie into, I can't think of the name of it, the trail.
A Comet Trail?
The one that goes over to Alabama, yes.
Silver Comet Trail.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the Silver Bullet train, but that's another, that's a beverage. Yeah, that's for food and beverage.
But it sounds like, John here is more connected into what is happening here in Buckhead than anybody we've had in the studio.
I think he should just take over our show every week. Yeah.
You bring a lot of relevant, brand new content about what the Buckhead residents are experiencing. And the Buckhead businessmen and women who are here on a daily basis, they need to be updated on what's going on
on
their streets.
Talk to us about the BBA.
The BBA is a very interesting and active organization. I've been a member of it for probably 10, 12 years in one form or another. It's not...
I hear a little hesitation. We're pro-business.
I know.
Anyway.
I would like to see it be more active in terms of community activities.
A lot more potential, right?
I think there's a lot more potential there. They do a nice Taste of Buckhead
in September.
They do an annual luncheon in January, and they give away a lot of awards. I was lucky to have won one of those in 2011. I won the Bullish on Buckhead Award.
Oh, nice.
So, from them.
Kudos. BBA. It's a Buckhead Business Association.
That's right.
They have at least a few hundred members, a kind of de facto chamber for Buckhead.
Yeah, well, actually, the de facto chamber, more so, is probably the Buckhead Coalition.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that group is really more of the chamber-oriented group of anybody.
Okay, I guess so.
And, that's Sam Massell and
but you can't
group.
Join that group.
You have to be invited to join, exactly. and it's very pricey.
Right.
I'm not going to be a member, I can tell you that. Now, there's one other group that I'd like to tell you about that most people don't even know about. and it's the Buckhead 50 Club.
Yeah, Michael Moore is a guy I know.
Right. As, the Buckhead 50 Club is the oldest club, actually, here in Buckhead. And when it started, it was very, very active in community events and actually community issues and that. Roswell Road would not have been paved, probably, if it hadn't been for the Buckhead 50
really?
Club. They're the ones that really got that going. So, I mean, it's those are some organizations that are pretty interesting.
John, we're almost out of time for your segment here, but we're going to maybe open things up here in a minute. But I'm kind of prompted and inspired. I think we should maybe do like a special episode for the Buckhead Business Radio Show just for Buckhead associations.
Yeah.
So bring in a member from the BBA, from the Coalition, mm-hmm. from the CID, whatever, right?
Right.
So you're going to spearhead that for us, yes
right.
or yes?
Oh, I can.
All right. Sold.
Just don't bring in the Buckhead boys.
Yeah.
Those were the gang that used to run the street that we all used to
That's
keep
right.
it. Back
That's
in the
right.
day, they say, look out for the Buckhead boys.
Oh, really?
That's right.
They're not still active, are they?
Actually, I think they still meet at the McDonald's.
They
oh, really?
Probably do. Yeah, get their free biscuit and coffee.
Once a week.
Yeah.
So share with our listeners, John, the best way for people to find out about what you're doing.
Well, the best way is just to log on, and you should do it every day because there are new things I'm posting every day on this website. But the website is www.buckheadview.com.
Cool.
And
it says that the name says it all, right?
Right. And I welcome you also to leave comments on articles.
Okay.
When you go down to the bottom of the article and there's an area there to do so. If you want to sign on for our weekly newsletter, you can do that on the website as well. And you can actually sign on at the website to be prompted every day about articles that have been
That's
been
what
posted.
I probably need to do because I just on the weekly list or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I'll do that. And then you have social media. I know you're on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's
we're in all these things. But
nice.
you know,
just go there and you'll find all the other.
I'm 74 years old. So if you're going to ask me what my account is on all
just
those.
Just call me.
I'm not going to remember.
All right. Well, pleasure having you back on the show here.
Well, thank you.
Stick around. And Ryan, who do we have up next?
It's our distinct pleasure to welcome the founder of MonkeyDough.com, Rob Hergett. He was born and raised in Miami, Florida. He owned an insurance business for 30 years before selling it and creating MonkeyDough.com. He has two boys, Stephen, who is 20 years old and in college in Texas, and Matt, who is 24 and is a very successful artist in Los Angeles with galleries in Miami, New York, L.A., San Francisco, and Dallas. Rob moved to Atlanta from Miami last year to live out at Reynolds Plantation, where he had been a member for about 13 years. He is dedicated to making a huge impact in Atlanta here with his company, MonkeyDough.com. So we met just last week. We were speaking at the Buckhead Club for a Network Over 40 event, and you joined us for On-Site Business Radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how'd you like that experience?
It was a lot of fun. It was real interesting.
Good, yeah, and you got to talk a little bit about MonkeyDough.com. You got to generate a little audio file and stuff, so you've probably listened to it at home already a couple times.
I have listened to it a few good. Times, well, and I've shared it.
Good, we're going to give you a lot more content here today in studio on Buckhead Business Radio. So why don't you tell us more in detail about MonkeyDough.com and how you got to start it?
Yeah, it was a lot of years in the works. I wanted to create something that was internet-based, and I wanted to create a company that was charitable and philanthropic. I had worked with a lot of fundraising through the years. My kids' schools, their athletics, Chamber of Commerce, charities, the gamut. And I just always saw a issue with the way fundraising was going. It was kind of, okay, what are we going to do this year to raise the money that we need to support our programs? And I just thought maybe there was a better way to be able to attract anybody and everybody. It's gotten difficult to survive off of donations alone. Working with Monkey Dough, I've discovered that there is a new nonprofit popping up on every street corner every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of competition, and what I wanted to do was create something that could attract anybody and everybody of all demographics to help support wonderful causes, to help support the community, and to have a benefit coming back to those that are supporting those causes. So that's what Monkey Dough was created to do.
Well said, and a great mission there. And before we jump back into Monkey Dough and business, a couple things jumped off the page in your bio. Your son has all these galleries. What type of art does he
He's a painter. In fact, he just this past week he had a piece bought from a gallery in L.A. from one of the NBA stars out
really?
There.
Really? Oh, wow.
He's 24 years old, and he just had a piece that was commissioned that went to Tokyo, Japan.
Wow.
He had two go to Russia, one to Switzerland. He's living his dream.
I'm telling you, wow.
Do you have any of his paintings at your home?
I have several, actually.
Yeah, good. Hold on to those. It may be worth something one day.
Big time, yeah.
Just to give him a little kudos, it's Mr. Herget at MrHerget.com is his website if
cool.
you ever want to check it out.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, so you probably, do you have any of his original paintings as a kid up on the refrigerator? Where did he first become inspired, or his talents? What do you...
He's always drawn, and he played football in high school. He painted the mascot breaking out of a wall in the guy's locker room
right.
in high school, and it's just taken from there. He's never had any lessons. He's just developed it, and he's...
Kind of like my brother in California is a high school football coach, but, man, he can draw. He's got the artistic touch, but he's not in any galleries or anything. But and then Reynolds Plantation, 13 years. You remember, did you all live out there, or what...
I always wanted to move there, but owning an insurance business in Miami sort of kept me from living there. But I saw it, for those that follow golf, the old Anderson Consulting Tournament used to be played at Reynolds, the finals, and saw it there one day and said, that's where I want to live, visited, ended up buying a piece of property and joining, and would visit as often as possible.
Well, you're probably my other brother from South Florida or South Georgia. Had a condo over there. We'd go over there a lot, and that's the best thing. Instead of owning it, right, just go to visit there and hang out.
It's like owning a boat.
It is, yeah.
It's always nice to someone else.
I mean, it's just a beautiful, picturesque view on the lawn there, and yeah. So back to business now. So from Miami, how long here in Atlanta?
I moved here at the beginning of last year.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. So recent transplant, and then so what brought you to Atlanta?
It was time to live out at Reynolds. I'd always wanted to do it. The time was right. And so I moved out there, lived out there for almost a year and a half, and had since moved into the city a couple of months ago.
Okay. So so back to Monkey Doe. So what was the initial trigger point? What was like, this is the ticket, this is the business to get into?
When I sold the insurance business... I said, you know what, this is the time to do it. If I'm ever going to do it, this is it. And again, I was involved in some charitable fundraising, and I just thought there was, it was kind of the time of the bubble. People were looking at ways of saving money, and I just wanted to take some of the ideas that we'd worked with in the past and kind of take it to a different level. So we are national. We've got over 350,000 merchants.
Wow.
Around the country that provide our members discounts on pretty much everything that you and I do.
So a two-part question here for you. What makes you unique from maybe some other offerings? And then how did you acquire that number of merchants?
Really, what makes us unique is the fact that we've taken all of these merchants and put them under one umbrella. It is a membership program. It's all of $49 a year to join. And when you do join, you get a $50 restaurant.com certificate. So in essence, it's free to join. A portion of all of that goes to our charitable nonprofit partners. But what makes us different is there is a million discount programs out there, many of which are free of charge. But there are a lot of hoops to jump through. There are expiration dates. You can typically only use those discounts once. With our program, with 350,000 merchants, wherever you are in the country, and parts of Canada, you can use as many of those discounts anytime you want, as often as you'd like. There's no hoops to go through. There's no worrying about expiration dates. We have a phone app that you can walk into one of the restaurants, show the phone app, and get your discount, whether it's 20%, 50%. I can tell you this. I was up in Detroit dealing with a couple of our nonprofits there, Detroit and Cleveland, believe it or not, in December, which is... interesting time to be there.
I was going to say.
But in two nights.
It's not Miami Beach, South Beach anymore.
No.
Yeah.
But in two nights of staying there between the hotel, the rental car, and one restaurant, I calculated it just to see the value. And I saved about $175
wow.
on a $49 membership. That's pretty good.
You got to love it, a guy that's a product of his own product, right?
No, that's so true. We're talking with Rob Herget, founder of MonkeyDoe.com. Go to their website. for more information on how you as an organization can join or as a merchant can join, right?
Absolutely.
And so walk me through that a little bit more detail, how a merchant would go ahead and sign up with you.
It is completely free of charge for any merchant to participate. It's free advertising. Not only will people locally here in the community see you, but, you know, people all over the country, if they come to visit Atlanta, we'll see you on there. All you have to do is offer a unique discount or offer that somebody can't get off of the street. But the whole idea is we're looking to not only support the merchants by driving traffic to them, but we want to save the consumers money at the same time. So it's sort of an organized buy local. Support your local merchants. But what we've added to the equation is a portion of everything we do is now going to the local charities. So our mission statement is to support local communities by raising money for the local schools and nonprofits, driving traffic to the merchants, and saving the consumers money all at the same time, which you just don't see that out there.
No, you're right. And you mentioned a minute ago how nonprofits are bubbling up almost left and right, and we've seen that here in the studio where charity is almost the new marketing. You know, get involved with a charity, and your business will create a higher profile. What are your thoughts on that?
With the restraints coming from government and so forth, you know, it's we've got to support our community, and the way to do it is through our local nonprofits. But depending on donations alone, not everybody can go to a gala for a few hundred dollars. Not everybody can write a check for a few hundred dollars. The idea with Monkey Dough was we can attract anybody of all demographics. I think in the nonprofit world, one of the weaknesses is attracting young people. You know, young people are having a hard time finding jobs that can support their own expenses, not alone donating to a cause they may love. So with Monkey Dough, we're saving them thousands of dollars every year. So it's a program that they're looking at. And here's a way that they can help support a local cause directly, but it's also benefiting them. And the neat thing about it is we create a custom Monkey Dough site for all of our nonprofit partners.
Wow.
So when they go on there, it's going to have the nonprofit's logo. It's going to have their information. It's going to have their photos.
Link to their site and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. So instead of having to, you know, worry about, you know, dealing with, you know, checks and cash and so forth, they can just communicate, you know, here's a program that benefits you, our supporters, but you know what? You're supporting us at the same time. And indirectly, those supporters are going to be seeing that logo on a daily basis. So they're going to remember who they're supporting, and hopefully they can also write donation checks.
How many nonprofits are do y'all?
We've got well over 100. This is our third year in business,
right?
And I had a goal early on that we wanted to donate between $7 and $10 million this year to our nonprofit partners. It's going to have to be a pretty good end of the year to make that, but.
Right, yeah.
The idea is if we raise a dollar for our nonprofits, that's a wonderful thing, and support the community. But we're raising money for the entire public school system outside of Detroit. We are looking to build an entire village down in Haiti with a huge nonprofit down in South Florida. And that's what excites me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking schools, housing, electricity. We're looking to make an impact, not just write a check to a cause, but to be able to change people's lives.
It's the trifecta win, right? I mean, all parties engaged walk away with a benefit. I don't know if this is a fair question or a ballpark number. Like, walk me through like the process or the percentage. Like, somebody goes in and does a $100 transaction at a restaurant. How is that kind of shared, or is there a flat percentage to the charity, or does it vary? It depends on all the different.
Actually, the way it works right now is that a portion of our membership is going to the nonprofit.
Of the $49?
Of the $49.
Okay.
Out of that $49, 30%, a little over 30% is going to our nonprofit partners. Plus, we have other programs that are completely free of charge. We have an online shopping program that gives people not only discounts at well over 5,000, you know, stores around the country, like a Macy's, a Walmart, and so forth.
Right.
But it also gives them cash back. And when they shop, a portion also goes to our nonprofit
partners.
And this
sounds just too good, right?
Yeah, that sounds great. I was wondering if you could share, you may not know this answer, and if you don't, that's okay, but a success story where a community came to you, how much money did they raise, and then, you know, what nonprofits were able to benefit from it?
Well, I think a great success story is our group in outside of Detroit. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact figure that we're looking at, but we've got the entire community involved, including the Chamber of Commerce.
Wow.
You know, this is a community that desperately needs support. And I think there's something like close to 50 schools that we're working with. We've worked with pet rescues. In fact, we've got I've got a consultant out in California that is bringing on soccer clubs. I mean, it's really any organization that's looking to raise money. Here is an effective way, because what we've done is not only are we supporting the community, but we're creating a residual revenue stream
right.
for nonprofits, which doesn't exist in this day and age.
Big time, no, because they sell the candies or the T-shirts and or holiday stuff, and it's gone.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing about it is, with this program, because it's a membership program, as long as that person is a member, they're getting a donation year after year after year. So you're not having to sell the
right.
value proposition each year. I got an email from a gentleman. We were raising money for their Rotary Club. And he sent me an email at the beginning of the year that he says, I probably saved between $3,000 and $4,000 last year being a Monkey Dough member without even trying. You know, and again, on a $49 investment where
yeah.
a portion of that goes to charity, you know, that's
and you get the restaurant.com gift card, right?
Exactly. Well, and there's other programs. We've got a number of free programs. We have just implemented, and we're revamping it right now, where we actually are giving out a $750 college scholarship to anybody who wants it, free of charge. We have a partnership with right now over 350 colleges around America. We're hoping about 800 by the end of the year, and any child up to a junior in high school can get a free $750 college scholarship. They have to be a member of monkeydough.com.
I was going to get my scholarship, but I guess I missed that window. Yeah.
No, and you could actually give it to not only your child,
okay.
you can give it to a relative as well, a nephew, niece, that
Great.
Type of thing.
Man, I'm really impressed at your outreach already.
Yeah.
The people you're getting in front of, the merchants, the organizations, the nonprofits. I mean, how do you find all these people? Or who's
yeah.
doing this legwork for
right,
you?
Exactly.
Well, it's we've had merchants that have found us. We've tapped into some national networks as well. We have a relationship with restaurant.com, so we've got their network of restaurants. We're just in the infancy right now. My goal was 5 million members in 5 years, which you're
Pretty
looking
aggressive.
At close to $100 million going to our nonprofit partners when we meet that goal. And you know, the neat thing about it is it's just an easy way for you to be able to support a cause and to be able to support it on a regular basis.
Now, you mentioned like about 100 charities involved. So does that 30% plus get divvied amongst all of them, or how does that?
Because they have their own Monkey Dough sites, we write a donation check each and every month. XYZ nonprofit had 1,000 new members. They're going to get a check for $15,000.
Oh, okay.
By the 15th of the following month, plus anything that we do on the other programs. We've got an insurance program that will help support them as well. We've got other programs, and we're always adding programs. This is always going to be a work in progress as far as creating more value, one, to our members, but two, everything we do, a portion of it is going to go to that nonprofit. So we're always looking for ways to increase that.
So what, just about a year or so, you said, here in Atlanta, what's the present or footprint, you know, here?
Well, it was interesting. I'm not even sure how I was introduced to it, but I was asked to be on the advisory board by United Way. They have a new initiative to end homelessness for vets.
Okay.
And that was something that that I had an interest in. And just through that relationship, I've gotten involved in some, you know, veteran nonprofits. There's many of them here in Atlanta. We were involved in a pet rescue here. Because I'm fairly new, I am looking for nonprofits out there that we can help make an impact.
Well, go ahead and give your pitch. We're here on Business Radio here in Buckhead, but we're broadcasting live throughout, obviously here, but literally in all 50 states, and we get listeners from Russia and Istanbul, and mm-hmm. we track our listeners from Australia, every continent, because internet broadcasting. So, but talk to us from a hyper-local standpoint here in Atlanta. Give your pitch if business people are listening. not only how would they find out about you, but what would be how would they go about setting up their own connection with you, I guess, the nonprofit for their link?
Absolutely. They can you can go to monkeydough.com, and it's D-O-U-G-H, as in money. And we have a fundraising tab, and you can click on there and put your information on there. We are raising money for nonprofits in Africa. I can't remember some of the other countries.
You mentioned Haiti.
Haiti. Right. They do have to have a footprint here in the States, because our program is designed right now. I do have a dream of taking this international.
Right.
As far as our network is concerned, it doesn't exist out there internationally. But right now, we cover 99% of the U.S. population in parts of Canada. So you do have to have a footprint here to be effective. But any nonprofit, any organization looking to raise money, whether it's schools, churches, colleges, we are actually looking to raise money for the historically Black colleges and universities. Right. I believe there's about 50 of them that we're looking to start with, fraternities, sororities. Sure. You can go to monkeydough.com. You can go to our fundraising tab and send us your information. It is free of charge for any nonprofit to participate with us.
And then the merchants, all the merchants that John mentioned here on the show, Buckhead Atlanta, and everybody here in Atlanta as a partner, right?
I would love to talk to any of the restaurant associations, any of the merchant associations, and let's do this in a big way. When I put in the zip code for downtown Atlanta, 30303, we've got over 3,800 merchants just in that surrounding area. And then we've got the entire surrounding areas covered as well. But the more the merrier. Let's make a huge impact. And again, support the local community, but let's do it in a way that benefits the consumer and the nonprofits.
Well, maybe we have you on Food and Beverage Radio, and when you're ready, we'll have you on International Business Radio, So we want just a couple minutes left. We've got a couple questions for both of our guests, but beforehand, just remind our listeners one more time the best way to find out and reach out to you.
www.monkeydough.com. You can also text to 33444, put the keyword monkey in there, and not only will you get a free benefits or start getting our free benefits, but you'll be tapped into to our updates and everything. So again, text 33444, the word monkey.
And it's monkeydough.com, D-O-U-G-H, like you said, about money. So so let's kind of wrap up. I'm going to go back to John and open it up to both of y'all to answer these questions. So talk to us about when you're not wearing your Monkey Dough or your Buckhead View hat, when you're off the clock, who inspires you or mentors, or what inspires you?
Well, number one, I'm not off the clock.
Hypothetically, yeah.
I mean, occasionally, yes, I'll go out in the boat on Lake Allatoona with my family and enjoy an afternoon up there. And I used to love to play golf, but now with arthritis in both legs and
you got the Golf Channel.
It's a little difficult. But
Is there someone that
we like to travel? We like to, you know, things like that. And
what's on the short list to go to or destinations?
Well, of course, I have a son and a daughter that live in Massachusetts and Connecticut, right near each other. So we go up there every so often. We're going to New York and spend a weekend, a long weekend up there around Christmas. I've just reunited with a high school buddy that from way back when, in Clearwater, Florida, and he lives in Greensboro, North Carolina. So once a year now, we go meet him in Nashville, North Carolina for a weekend. So it's things like that. We'll be going to Disney World in January for the grandchildren.
Right.
And then next year we'll take our second Viking River cruise. In Southwest France, down in the down in Southwest France.
Right. Yeah.
I was going to actually suggest that. Yeah. One of the people you ought to check on for Monkey Dough is you ought to talk to Denise Starling, the executive director of Livable Buckhead. Livable Buckhead, about a year or two ago, tried to do a card with merchants in Atlanta, in the Buckhead area primarily, to help raise money in that. And they got some big plans and some, you know, this Path 400 is a multi-million dollar project. And so... they might be interested in talking.
Yeah, because if you get the community and you get the movers and shakers behind that, to kind of push it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if already Buckhead Life, the restaurant group, is involved, but that's in right in our backyard as well, right?
Yeah, and Ford Fry with
Ford Fry is building
restaurants all over the place.
He's crazy all over the country. He's been here in the studio. Yeah, yeah. He's a very interesting character. So yeah, you were mentioning cruise. I've been on a number of the big ship cruises, Royal Caribbean, all those guys, but I haven't done the Viking one. But I've heard several people talk about it.
It's, we loved it. We did southern France and down through the eastern part, southeastern part of France, last year, and it was just one of the most amazing, leisurely, relaxing times. And actually, one of the beautiful things that I found out is that I could beat all my competition covering Buckhead from the river cruise ship in southern France.
That's crazy, right?
And actually, a couple of years before that, we had taken a Silver Seas cruise in the Mediterranean. They're smaller than those big ships you're talking about. I don't ever want to be on a ship with 2,000 or 3,000 people.
It's a great time on Carnival. I've been on Carnival. I actually worked at a cruise ship in Barcelona during the Olympics, so it is great. But I've wanted to do the Alaskan cruise.
I did the Alaskan
cruise. Oh, you did? Yeah. Talk to me about that.
I did that. It was a number of years ago. It was an amazing cruise. We did Greece and Italy and Turkey a couple of years ago.
Wow.
I've probably done 15 to 20 cruises in my...
Wow.
Well, being from Miami, you can do the Caribbean anytime. Right,
yeah.
But,
you sneak on the ship, whatever, yeah.
Alaska and the Greek cruise was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've been to the Bahamas and Nassau and a bunch, because I had a cousin. She lives in Fort Lauderdale, but still works on the cruise ship. My dad was involved in creating the Bimini Top. And actually, mm-hmm. I think he coined that. He didn't trademark it. We're not making any money off of it. But the La Pointe family. But back in, we'll talk after the air or off the air. But go back to. So now, who or what inspires you, Rob, when you're not tossing monkey dough up in the air?
Well, actually, my new inspiration is my son.
Yeah.
He's kind of my motivational guru these days. He's very much into the law of attraction, and he's always, he's got me now meditating in the morning. He's got me doing all sorts of things, reading very inspirational, information every single day. But my passion right now, and it's funny because I had a discussion with some friends yesterday that, that people can't gain the American dream anymore. My passion, as Monkey Dough gets bigger, is I want to kind of reinvent the educational side as far as entrepreneurship. I want to be able to show kids, whether they come from the poor communities, that they can do whatever they want to do and they can create whatever they want to create. So that's one of my passions in building Monkey Dough is just creating a whole entrepreneurial program.
Well, maybe I'll pitch you on the next show, Kids Business Radio. We do. We've had a couple of kids in here on that show have gotten deals from the Shark Tank, been on ABC Shark Tank, gotten deals, gotten money from a couple of the sharks. So, it's a very inspiring to kind of see those up and coming entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And but I noticed on the galleries for your son, not in Atlanta. Right?
It's funny. I posted on Facebook to any Atlanta friends if they had any great contacts to Atlanta galleries. So if there is anybody that knows a good gallery here, I'd love to.
Well, John probably knows.
And Gallery 874 has been a guest in the studio as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just opened up on the west side of Atlanta.
And there's what's in the galleries here in Buckhead, John?
Oh, there are tons of them.
Really?
Yes, we actually I live in a high-rise condo called the Gallery.
Oh, really? Okay.
And,
wow.
And our entire lobby is literally a gallery. And every 3 months or so, we change out the artwork with one of the galleries in the
wow.
That's funny you should say that. He told me not to announce it, but I'm going to anyway because the time is right. My son is actually in Boston right now. He got a deal with a company, a building that's going up brand new in Boston, where he's going to be doing eight paintings for their lobby. Yeah. So,
is there money in that business or? don't give away any dollars, but...
Well, let me just say that in our lobby now, or in the past month or so, there were several paintings that were $8,000 and above.
Dang.
So,
well, his last piece went for $10,000.
Dang.
And
I guess so, yeah. Well, we got space on the wall here if he wants to donate any paintings. Yeah. So, Ryan, any closing thoughts or comments here?
Two gentlemen very passionate about what they're doing. Both of them in kind of a unique space there, creating a business for themselves, creating business for others. So wonderful to hear your story and for you to join us here on Buckhead Business Radio. We do wish you more success going forward with BuckheadView.com as well as MonkeyDough.com. So please do come back. Join us again for the studio when you reach that pinnacle mark of success, when you're ready to take it internationally, or perhaps when Buckhead View gets written up in a national publication or something about that, all the good work you're doing. Please do come back and join us in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. A pleasure having you all here. Rich Casanova once again for another episode of Buckhead Business Radio X. Just encouraging everyone to do well and be good. See you next week.